Welcome to another edition of The Brand Called You, a video and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Today, I'm delighted to welcome a professional manager turned entrepreneur, Sameer Gupta. Sameer, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Ashutosh. It's really a pleasure to be on this platform, The Brand Called You.
Thank you. Sameer is the co-founder of Haldi Vita. Haldi is turmeric. He was previously the chief financial officer of HCL and he was an executive vice president with Infoline. So Sameer, tell me, what would you say are three key milestones in your life or your career?
One thing I would definitely say, a person should be at the right place at the right time. I mean, that goes without saying. This is all about karma. At a very young age, I became controller of finance and operations of a very large multinational, John Wiley. It was the largest publishers and I was handling India. I was handling bits of Singapore, Europe and Australia. So possibly that gave me a platform, from where I could move forward, gained a couple of jobs. But yeah, three things, if you ask me, the most important thing is the learning should not stop.
Okay.
At every stage, if you take, for example, when I was working with Wiley, I was also handling the editorial along with accounts and finance.
Okay.
I was handling with production. When I moved over to Outlook Magazine, I was there for a very brief period. There I became the in charge of the entire production and the entire logistics. So every position of mine along with accounts, it gave me a platform to learn more and make me a complete businessman.
Okay.
An entrepreneur, which ultimately happened.
Wonderful. So, after such a successful professional career, why did you decide to become an entrepreneur?
It's a very interesting story. I mean, if you would like me to relate to that story, I would definitely
love to
hear it. What had happened was when I was working in Oman, I was there for about 14 years as a CEO of a company. Lifestyle was very different. I mean, I was traveling all the time, different time zones, food habits, so I became very diabetic. When I came back to India, I was initially consulting a lot of companies and helping them establish overseas. During that period, I met up with a person who was doing his PhD in Ayurveda. And he told me, Sameer, why the hell are you popping medicines, all these allopathic medicines and killing yourself? I mean, try something Ayurveda. I tried that Ayurveda stuff, Haldi Vita is what. I reversed my diabetes. I reversed my cholesterol.
Wow.
And that was a time when I decided, let me do something good. I mean, that was, I won't call it a retirement plan, but I would call it something different I wanted to do in life. And that's what prompted me to become an entrepreneur.
Terrific. So let's talk about Haldi Vita then. Tell me about the venture.
Haldi Vita, basically, I just explained to you, this particular product has got a very, very special Haldi, which is known by the name of Suvarna. It is grown at an altitude of 5,000 feet and above.
I see.
Okay, otherwise, it starts losing its properties. And Haldi has got a bioactive element, which is known as curcumin. Everybody is aware of it. Everybody talks about curcumin.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, curcumin is not biosoluble. It's not bioavailable. So in order to make it bioavailable, you've got to mix 14 other ingredients of a particular quantity in a particular proportion, which people do not understand. And this formula is all about that. From there it started, and now we are growing, in the sense that we are introducing more products in the market. We have got Haldi Vita herbal tea also. We have got Haldi Vita cookies also. And we are expanding the range of cookies and snacks and other items.
So before I get into any more questions, tell me why is Haldi good for the human body?
That's because of that bioactive element, curcumin.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm not a science person, so I won't be able to explain it, in detail, but yeah. I mean, if you look at our tradition also, there are a couple of factors. In India, if you see, there are very, very few people who suffer from old age problems, dementia, Parkinson. One of the reasons which is attributed, which came out from the research in Australia, US and other countries, is Haldi is responsible for that.
I see.
Otherwise, it keeps on effect because it's an integral part of our food. And it keeps on impacting us, and over a long period of time, it gives us that energy, it gives us that stamina, it gives us that immunity to fight against these diseases.
Very interesting. So, Haldi is a normal part of every Indian meal, right? It's been discovered all over the world now, turmeric, curcumin, etc. How are you differentiating your product? at the end of the day, Haldi is really a generic product, a masala, if I can use that.
It's a general product, all right. But there are three factors. Mm. One is we are, like I told you, we are doing very, very special Haldi. We are growing very special Haldi, which we grow ourselves along with the farmers. We aggregate the farmers in Chamoli. And this has come in the notice of the government in Uttarakhand. And now they have asked us to replicate the same thing for the farmers in Lansdowne area as well. Mm-hmm. So the first thing is we grow it ourselves.
Mm-hmm. I see.
Ourselves means like we aggregate the farmers and then we do it. Sure. Second is it's Swarna Haldi. It's a very, very special kind of a seed, which is like very difficult to get. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, whatever we grow, we keep certain portion for seeds and certain portion we process it.
Okay.
That's the second part. Mm-hmm. The third part is what Haldi you get in the market. I shouldn't be saying it, but most of the known brands, it's nothing but color and powder.
Wow.
You know, and the curcumin level, I have got it tested myself, you know, certain, I picked up certain brands. Mm. The curcumin level was nearly 1.5 to 2%. And in our Haldi, it's about 8 to 9%.
Okay. Okay. And what should it normally be?
Normally, it's about 5%, 5 to 6%.
Okay.
I mean, if you grow Haldi in plains, you, and it's a good quality Haldi, like maybe Rajendra Sonia or some Amba Haldi, or so you will get approximately 4 to 6% of curcumin.
Okay. So again, you know, I've been in commodities for a long time. I've done various brands. Mm-hmm. One of the biggest challenges that I'm sure you face is how do you demand a premium by explaining to the customer that my 8% is better than 5% and therefore pay me more?
Initially, we did have a problem, mm-hmm. you know, explaining it to the customer and, you know, explaining why this is so, why not so expensive, but why it's more expensive than the rest of the products. Mm-hmm. But when the customers, they started trying it out, it took a little time. Mm-hmm. I mean, the traction took a little time to happen. But once the customers, they started trying, mm-hmm. like I'll give you an example. There is a customer in Mumbai. I mean, he was very, very skeptical. I sent him a sample. I said, why don't you try it out? Today, he buys nearly about 12 bottles a month, for not only for himself, but for his family and friends. He has seen the effect himself.
Wow.
There are so many cases who call me up and they start thanking me, you know, like, I mean, this. I said, this is not me. This is Ayurveda. Mm. It's only that I'm bringing it to you. Mm.
So is Haldi also being grown in other countries that are at a height of 5,000 feet and above?
I'm not sure about other countries, but in India, definitely, you know, some people, they are very particular, I mean, what quality of Haldi they're growing. But unfortunately, most of the farmers are uneducated. Mm. You know, they've got small piece of land. So they don't do it scientifically. So they're not even aware of the quality of seed. That's where we come in. Mm. We give them the right quality of seed. We give them the right fertilizers, right pesticides, you know, which are all organic. Mm. And then we help them grow the whole stuff. And we also keep on training them. Mm. So we have got about 100 farmer families in Chamoli. And we'll be going ahead with another 100 families in Lansdowne area as well.
Okay. And, you know, Haldi seems to be some kind of a miracle product. I mean, it's very good for when you consume it. It's supposed to be very good for the skin. In all Indian weddings, Haldi is a ritual that you go through as one of the many rituals that we have before weddings. What makes Haldi so special?
The namin is basically the curcuminoids, which have got some special properties. And this, you know, we had been having it traditionally. Mm-hmm. Like if you recall our grandmothers and dadi, you know, they used to say, beta haldi ka doodh piyo, raat mein sone ke pehle shuddh haldi ka doodh. And the other thing, you know, you remember, like, I mean, they used to give a chonk of kali mirch and this badam. Mm. You know, this almond and black pepper, they used to give a chonk of that in doodh, along with haldi. Mm. So that was all very scientific, but we have lost it somewhere. Mm. So I guess over a period of time, we are reviving, we are getting into more, you know, kind of research, more knowledge is coming out. Various institutes are working on it. Various countries are working on it. Mm. So that's what is making it popular. There could be many other such products.
Okay. And that's an interesting segue to my next question. Are there other products beyond turmeric that you are looking at?
We are adding ashwagandha. We are adding giloy. We are adding, you know, traditional Ayurvedic herbs to make them more effective. And for that, I mean, there is a complete research team. We have been incubated at NIFTEM. So we also get the help of the professors and the research, you know, groups there mm-hmm. to tell us how to make the product more effective health-wise.
Okay.
And then we have got our mentors also. We have got our advisors also. So, I mean, that's how we work. Because one person cannot have the entire knowledge. So you need to work, you know, kind of absorb the knowledge from different sources.
Very interesting. So my next question to you is, you know, I'm going to move to some questions for you on startups.
Sure.
You know, I mean, I also made this transition from a professional to founding Guardian Pharmacy when I was 46. Mm-hmm. And my question to you is, how was your transition from a senior corporate professional to a startup entrepreneur?
It's a very, very interesting question, Ashutosh. I'll answer it like this. Initially, I mean, when we started off, I was doing it at a very small scale, only for family and friends. Mm. And I never realized that I'm going to get so deeply absorbed in the whole, you know, kind of ecosystem. Mm. Today, like I said, dream, eat, everything is healthy vita.
Correct.
So, I mean, one is the passion. I mean, one is to do something different, which kind of got me here. Second is all the experience of 35 years. Mm. And the third factor is my co-founder. He's a young guy. He's about 33 years old. Very dynamic.
Okay.
So, I mean, we make a good team, touch wood. I mean, by the grace of God, I'll say, we make a very good team. Mm. And so, I mean, it just happened and it started rolling. Mm. And the last point which I would mention is there were not many people who came forward to support us. Mm. It could be financially, it could be, you know, in other ways, it could be knowledge-wise, it could be to open up the markets. Mm. So I think all that, you know, and last but not the least, it gives me an opportunity to meet great people. Mm. You know, like I'm meeting you also today. So I mean, it gives me an opportunity.
Thank you. You know, you're right. You know, it is a big challenge. And a lot of people I've met actually struggle to take a decision. I want to give up my regular monthly salary and become an entrepreneur. So congratulations. I think you have the courage to do that. My next question is that you have a co-founder, but based on all the people you would have met who are entrepreneurs, is it better to do a company solo or is it better to have a co-founder?
It's always nice to have a co-founder. Hmm. I mean, that's my opinion.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I would stand by it. I mean, you know, there are a lot many things. You can divide the responsibilities, you can divide the work, and he should come from a different background. So, I mean, he complements you. I'm from finance. I'm from, you know, administration. I'm from, you know, logistics. And he comes from a techie background. So, I mean, the way he analyzes products, I mean, had you spoken to him about curcumin, he would have given a totally different perspective, which I failed to give.
No, that's okay.
So that's what I'm saying. So you complement and it's like you form a team. And that team is what makes it effective.
Agreed.
So co-founder, definitely.
Okay. And my next question to you is that based on your experience, what are some of the basic mistakes a lot of startup entrepreneurs make?
One mistake which we made was, I mean, we didn't know what this animal, this FMCG is all about. Hmm. You know, it was a totally different animal and we got into it without really, you know, doing very deep analysis. We did some market research, but deep analysis. So we learned the hard way. We lost a little bit of money. I mean, we were taken for granted and people like made a fool out of us. Mm-hmm. So initially it happened. We lost 3-4 lakh rupees, but it's okay. That was a part of learning. We attributed to learning cost. Mm-hmm. So that was one mistake. I mean, without, you know, when you get into something very different, which was not your line, then you've got to understand it very, very deeply. And it's always better to have a mentor to be associated with you at that time. So finally, we got a mentor, I mean, who's the global director of RB based out of London. Mm-hmm. And he was the guy who kind of put some sense in the way things were happening, branding and, you know, FMCG.
My next question is that, you know, one of the biggest challenges a lot of startups face is that they're doing well when they're small. But when they start to scale up, they run into problems.
Three things.
So my question to you is, at what stage do you think a startup should scale up?
No, the startup should scale up. I mean, that goes without saying. The three things which they are not able to manage. One is the logistics. I mean, the I'll say not logistics, but I mean, the elements of a large organization. Okay, small is like they can control everything, but when it happens, they have to start delegating. Hmm. So they have to learn that art of delegating, the right delegation to the right people and right control points. Okay, that is the first part. Second is most of the startups are not able to manage their funds. Hmm. Being a finance person, I can guarantee because I was a mentor to nearly 100 startups before I started this. Hmm. And I was mentoring them on financials. And one thing which I found common amongst all the startups was okay, once they start growing up, how do you align your working capital, capital expenditure and your other expenses in a seamless manner so that it triggers off growth?
Okay.
That is the second thing which they have not been able to do. Mm. Third is limited, getting access to the limited market is definitely very easy. But I mean, you have been an entrepreneur, so you know, but the moment you start expanding, you have to be innovative, you have to get into larger, you have to look, I mean, that vision of getting into a larger market and the ability to manage that larger market, that has to come in. You have to find newer markets, you have to find newer customers, all that has to happen.
Okay. So my next question is that, you know, you're building a very, very fascinating company and you're building a brand. What are some of the core values you believe in?
One is integrity. It goes without saying. If I'm giving a health product, it has to be a health product. We don't compromise on that. In fact, there was a time when we couldn't get Swarna Haldi for nearly 3 months. We stopped the production. We could have easily picked up some other kind of Haldi and nobody would have been able to make out.
Right.
But we decided not to. We set list of production. We wrote to all the customers. We wrote to everybody. Like it'll take 3 months. And they all appreciated this fact.
Okay.
So that is one thing. That's one of the core values. The second is, we amongst the employees, I mean, when we say okay, we have to be honest to each other in the sense that whatever we should not give them fake, you know, kind of visions, we should not give them fake, you know, aspirations. So whatever it is, we work as a team, we work as a family. If there is a problem, let's solve it together. If we are happy, let's share it together.
And as the company is growing, with you and your co-founder, what is your leadership style?
Sorry, I couldn't get your question.
What is your leadership style?
Delegate and just keep a few control points.
Okay. Okay.
But it doesn't work always. I mean, you've got to be very careful. You've got to be very cautious to what are you delegating. At times, you feel that you can delegate and get the things done, but it doesn't happen.
Okay.
Over-delegation, under-delegation. So it's a kind of, you know, mix which is happens and it's an evolving process.
Interesting. And what do you look for when you hire people?
Attitude. That's the biggest thing.
Help me understand
knowledge. I mean, if I say, like, I mean, what would be the percentage between attitude and skill? I will say 50-50.
I see. And how do you define attitude?
Attitude is willingness to work. That is one. Willingness to learn. That's the second. And willingness to team together.
Okay. Yeah. So I'm going to move to the last segment of our conversation, which is some questions for you personally. So Sameer, for someone who has, you know, been so successful in the corporate world, is building a fantastic business, from where you stand today, what does success mean to you?
Success for me is, like, see, one, there are three elements of success, if I put it correctly. The first is, you should be known for your integrity and the product and for the work what you are doing. Okay. And I always maintain one thing in this first segment only, I always maintain something. You, if you do any kind of a business which is not helping anybody, it's like a bunny without a hop. You know, it's like a bunny who doesn't hop. So there has to be an element of social impact. Okay, directly, indirectly. But it has to impact somebody. It should trigger off that impact. That's the first part.
Okay.
Okay. And the second thing for me, success is, like, people should respect you for what you have done. One is known. Second is respect you for what you have done. And third is, of course, it should be financially viable. I mean, it should not just happen like it's a loss-making organization and you're just, you know, kind of accruing the cost. A lot of these startups are doing it. And I don't know how the evaluation happens, but it happens. So the third is, like, it should be commercially viable. Even a social impact program has to be commercial viable. It should be self-sustaining. To make an enterprise which is self-sustaining.
Okay. Okay. And, you know, a follow-up question from that is that who or what inspires you?
There are a lot of people. I mean, my bosses have inspired me. My colleagues have inspired me. My juniors have inspired me. You know, so, I mean, my co-founder inspires me a lot of time. So, I mean, it's just a team. I mean, everybody inspires. There's somebody, like, I mean, a vague call will come from a friend. Or some vague customer. There's one customer in Shimla, Mr. Jage. I mean, he just called up out of blues, and then he started, you know, talking to me. I mean, it was such a fantastic conversation. I mean, I thought I'll talk to him for 10 minutes. It lasted for 1.5 hours. And he really inspired me, you know, to what should be the newer products, how we should come out. He was appreciating what we were doing. And today, like, I told him, I said, you've become my mentor now. You're no longer a customer, you're a mentor for me.
So I've got time for two more questions for you now.
Sure.
My next question to you, Sameer, is on failure. And I've often said that parents in India or South Asia don't teach children it's okay to fail. We're always told, come first, go to the head of the line, et cetera, et cetera. And yet we keep failing. So my question to you is, what have been some of your learnings from some of your mistakes?
failure. I mean, 35 years of career and 3 to 4 years of entrepreneurship, definitely there have been a lot of failures in life.
I'm sure.
I won't say, I've made a lot of mistakes in life. Not one, two, three. But if I start counting and if I introspect, there could be layers of mistakes. But, I mean, the thing is, some mistakes like kind of depresses you, but you've got to get up, you've got to, you know, get over it and learn from that. In fact, in one of the interviews, it won't be wrong to mention, in one of the interviews, I was working for a company, Inox, for a very, very brief period. So Mr. Jain was there, he's the chairman. So he asked me, he said, in the previous company, that company failed. So don't you feel like you're a failure in life? I said, no. That company failed and it taught me what not to do in a corporate world to be successful.
Interesting. Very interesting. And my last question to you, Nasir. Sure. This is for the thousands of people who will watch this interview and listen to everything you are saying. What would your advice be to a young individual who is starting off on her or his entrepreneurial journey?
There are two things which I tell them. I said, one is, of course, like, passion is absolutely necessary. The degrees could be different, but passion is absolutely necessary. You should believe in what you're doing. And believe in the sense, in the product, in the service, you should believe in, not in making money. Mm-hmm. Money will come automatically if you do the things right. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's one thing which I tell everybody, and that has been my motto all my life, even in corporate world. I've been telling my juniors, come in, just do the things right and believe in what you are doing. And the second thing is always look for a larger goal. Mm-hmm. Don't go in for small goals. Always have a very large vision, and you chase that vision with smaller, you know, kind of, I won't say goals, but smaller achievements.
Okay, very interesting. Sameer, thank you so much. It's been such a pleasure speaking to you.
Thank you
for sharing your incredible journey of Haldi Vita, and I wish Haldi Vita lots of success.
Thanks a lot, Ashutosh. Really a pleasure being with you.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to the brand called You Videocast and Podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website www.tbcy.in to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for the brand called You.